wish you all a Merry Christmas this coming this week. This is a wonderful time of year, a time of great joy as we remember the Jesus Christ coming to this earth. I would like to say that have a little gift from the church for each of you. And before you leave today, it's a little card. I want to thank Stella for designing that. She did a fabulous job. And it's a little card from the church. And then inside of it's a little calendar with a magnet you put on your refrigerator to remember to pray for the church and throughout the week. And I want to thank my brother David who made these. So it's just a little gift, a good reminder for all of us to pray for one another. And so before you leave today, have one for at least every family. I'm not sure there's enough for every person, but at least one for every family. And so glad that you're here today. You know, as we think about what are you asking for Christmas or the new year? It's the time of year, the holidays here upon us. And we may have different expectations, different things that we would want or ask for, whether it be a gift or whether we make a resolution for the new year. Those are different things we might be thinking about this time of year. So we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each one here and for your goodness to us. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He was born in a lowly manger, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he came, the reason, so that he might die on a cross for our sins. And Lord, as we celebrate this season, let us not forget the reason for it. And I pray you'd bless the time that we have with family and friends, that we might with joy proclaim that he has come. And Lord, we know that he is coming again. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant. Give me the words to say and open our hearts to receive the word of God and then to apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you. We thank you with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been doing a series of messages on the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus, of course, is teaching disciples prayer. And I think there's much we can learn here about what is prayer. Someone may ask you, well, what is prayer? And really, we find the answer in this prayer. What prayer is and should be. Prayer is, of course, calling on God's name. Our Father who art in heaven. Prayer is seeing God's greatness. More than our problems, more than our difficulties. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer is our seeking God's mission. Thy kingdom come. Prayer is looking for God's plan, thy will be done. And then prayer is declaring my dependence upon God. Give us this day our daily bread. And prayer is communicating with God. And in our communication, we also include forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Today I want us to see, we're going to do message 7, I should say 7 and 8 today. So you get a Christmas special, 2 for the price of 1. We're going to combine 7 and 8. But prayer is asking for God's help to be victorious. Asking for God's help. You know, we need God's help daily in our lives. And it's never wrong to ask someone for help, but especially we should ask God for his help. And so the words here in the prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask for God's help daily. And so we think about this, What is temptation? Temptation is something that we face all the time in our lives. We do face temptation. So we ask for God's help to be victorious. We battle different things. Every person battles different temptations, different struggles. Yet our help all comes from God. And so we need to remember that, to ask God for His help. Now, what is temptation? I think it's good for us to remember that temptation, it's not a sin to be tempted. All right? It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. Hebrews 4:15 tells us this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Right? We all face temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's interesting that Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this, "It's not a sin to be tempted. You cannot stop birds from flying over your head." All right? Year round, you're going to have birds fly over your head. But you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. In other words, you don't have to give in to that temptation. You don't have to allow those birds to make a nest in your hair. Now, maybe this help you visualize that a little bit better. I was thinking about this picture here. I don't know if this pointer is going to work here. I think that's maybe a temptation for the birds to make a nest. I don't know. Birds aren't tempted with mine. But this is here. The bird has landed. The bird has landed. And you know, when we give in to that temptation, we're all faced with temptation, but when we give in to that temptation, we allow that bird of temptation to make a nest in our head, or on our head, or in our hair, and in our lives, we give in to that temptation. And so we are not to do that. I think of it also this way. It is not an invitation. Temptation is an invitation to do evil or something wrong. All right? Often it invites us. It's like someone knocking at the door. And so to choose wrong and to open that door of temptation then is to fall into sin. Now, it's also interesting that temptation, although it can be an invitation to do evil, think of it also this way, it is also an opportunity to do good. When we resist temptation, when we do not yield to temptation, then we're doing that which is right. When we choose what's right, it helps our character to grow. We grow in our character. There are times we may fall into temptation, but we do not lay there. We get back up and go on and walk. So when you then resist that temptation and do that which is right, you're growing in character. So this is what temptation is. Now, we are all tempted. We may be tempted in different ways, but we are all tempted. Every day of our lives, we are tempted. So this is a prayer that we ought to pray every day. And we need to understand, what are the sources of temptation? Where does temptation come from? Now, the Bible tells us very clearly, it is not God. Temptation is not of God. James 1:13, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So, temptation, we need to understand that clearly. It doesn't come from God. But the Bible does tell us that we have three enemies of our soul. Three enemies that would try to destroy us, that would try to cause us to fall. And so these are the sources of our temptation. First of all, we see the devil, Satan. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then 1 Thessalonians 3:5. I was afraid that in some way, the tempter, again, another title for the devil, Satan, the tempter, had tempted you. So we have the picture here. The picture of that roaring lion. Now, circling its prey. And when that lion comes, it looks for the weakness. You know, circling around, looking for the way to attack, looking for the weakness that is there. You know, get that picture in your mind. The devil is looking for weakness. And like a roaring lion, he would like to attack us, to destroy us. So we need to be aware of his schemes. We need to be aware of what he does to attack us. It tells us here, he tempted Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go through that in more detail later, but the devil came, and he may come in different forms. He came as a serpent. A very interesting creature that he came as a serpent to tempt them. And the words that he spoke, we're going to take a look at that. He came to Job and tempted Job and accused Job before God. Does he do all these things for nothing? You know, let's see what Job is really made of. And so, he came to destroy Job. David tells us in 1 Chronicles 21:1, he was tempted of the devil. Satan came and tempted him to number the people, to, as it were, to gloat in the strength of his kingdom, rather than to look to God as his strength. And then, of course, he came to Jesus to tempt him in the wilderness. In a time of physical weakness, had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, he came to tempt. Now, of course, this Christmas season is a time of great joy, great happiness. We enjoy the time with family and friends, and the new year coming, a great time and joy and so forth. But this time of being on the mountain, as it were, and we come down off that mountain many times after the holidays, we are very susceptible to temptation, if not during the holidays as well. So, we need to be alert. We need to be aware of everything going on around us. You know, even as you walk down the street any time during the day or night, you're aware of someone who may try to attack, whether harm they might bring upon you. And so spiritually, we need to be aware that the devil he wants to attack us. And so we need to be aware of that. And then temptation also comes from the world. The world here is not just the people of this world, but the system of this world. 1 John chapter 2 tells us this. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And those who, 1 Timothy chapter 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation. Get rich quick or whatever it might be. You're thinking of money as being your that which you would worship. What does it tell us here? That you would fall into temptation and a trap. It's a trap. and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. All right? So these are the things of this world. And this season, Christmas, what Christians should celebrate this season? And yet even Christians could be caught up in the world, the commercializing of Christmas. And so we need to be aware of that. The world and all its temptations, they would want us also to fall to that temptation. And so the devil is our enemy who would attack us. The world is our enemy that would attack us. And then we also have the enemy within, if you would say it this way. The enemy that is within us, the flesh. Matthew chapter 7 reminds us of this. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, wanting to do harm to others, deceit, lying, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a person and defile a person. We have that flesh within us that is susceptible to any of these temptations that would push us. Romans 8:13 reminds us, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So we have these, all this, the devil, the world, and the flesh. I had a professor in college. He was an interesting professor. He was a good teacher. But he would often demonstrate to the students these different things. He says, I know some of you are loving the world. And you're holding on to the world. You're letting the world to conform you to its image. And, just to emphasize his point, he would take off his shoe and his sock and he would prop his foot up on the table and he would lean over and kiss his foot. He said, that's what you're doing when you love the world. And, he had a way of making a point. I'm not recommending you kiss your feet, but the disgust of the world, when you love the world, it's like that. It's kissing your feet. And then he talked about temptation of the flesh. He was up in the, he told us a story about the time he was up in the Empire State Building, which, is one of the tallest buildings in the world. And he looked down and all of a sudden he said, I got an evil thought. It's that bird flying over your head. I got an evil thought. What if I were to spit down there? I wonder what would happen. This evil thought came into his mind. All right? And, a lot of times we get crazy thoughts. We get crazy or evil thoughts of even our own flesh. And so we have to battle that. Where did that thought come from? And, not to give in to the world or the devil or to the flesh. And so, we are aware of temptation. The source of temptation. The devil, his schemes, his method hasn't changed much from Genesis chapter 3. And also, he used the same schemes in Matthew, and we see him tempting Jesus. So, when he came and spoke to Eve in the garden, he caused her to look at that fruit, and he said, is that not good for food? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that something that you would want and desire? the lust of the flesh, and present to the eyes. It probably shined. It probably was glimmering. You know, that which shines and glimmers is not always that which is good for us. It catches our eyes, the lust of the eyes. And then he told Eve something very interesting, that if you would take and eat of this, it would make you wise. You'd be like God. And that's appealing to the pride of life. Don't you want to be considered wise? And don't you want to be considered something great? And so the devil appears and he speaks to our hearts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And so temptation comes from the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And yes, we are faced with temptation all the time. Now, it's very important that we understand, how does temptation work? How does it go about? Well, first of all, there are the desires. James 4 and verse 1 speaks of this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Whether it be the quarrels within a family or marriage or between friends or in a church, these quarrels come from desires that, desires may be evil desires, or they may be good, but not the best. And so these desires, whether they be evil or good or not looking out for that which is best for everyone, these desires clash. And so we see how temptation works. And then temptation also can cause some doubts. Hebrews 3:12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Did not Eve hear what God had said? Do not partake of that fruit. And yet, the devil put some questioning in her mind, causing her to doubt. The devil said to her, did God really say that? Did you hear that right? And beginning to raise some doubts in your mind. You know, does God really want the best for you? Is God really being fair? And you hear these whispers in your ears. The devil questioning and causing you maybe even to doubt God's goodness, to doubt what God is saying and what God wants for you. And that's how temptation works. And when you hear that whispering in your ear, beware. Beware of that. Because we see the third thing is temptation is deception. John 8, 44, you belong to your father, the devil. Jesus spoke very clearly to the people there. And you want to carry out your father's desires. All right, well, what is your father, the devil? He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So there's deception. There are lies in temptation. And you hear a voice say, well, nobody will see you. Nobody's here. Nobody will know. And that's a lie. Moses, in anger, killed a man, thinking no one was around to see it. Nobody will see it. Nobody will know. Little did he know that someone from the window saw what he did. And the next day, when Moses stood up to help that person out, he said, well, are you going to kill me like you killed that man? Never think that No one's going to see this. I can get away with it. Because God does, God sees it. That's a lie. You never know what eyes are looking your direction. You never know. Of course, the day in which we live, you never know what cameras are looking at you either. There's a camera everywhere. Every corner, I think there's a camera. Big Brother is looking over us all the time. We have cameras all around us. So, don't think that, no one will see it. And don't think that, you can get away with this. Don't listen to those lies. That's the devil's native language. It's interesting. I often said this, a child, you never have to teach a child how to lie. All right? Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Jane. Today we're going to learn lying 101. Never had to do that with my children. I never had to do that. I learned to lie when I was very young. And children do the same. They tell lies. What? Act innocent. No, I don't know anything about it. What are you talking about? It's a lie, not telling the truth. And so we learn at a very young age to tell lies. And that comes from the devil. That's our sinful nature. And so this is the way how temptation works. We have the desires there. It's like a kindle for the fire of temptation. And then we begin to question God. Is God really want the best for us? And we listen to the lies of the devil, the lies of the world. Today, the popular thing is political correctness. You have to be so careful what you say. Well, if God says it, then that's truth. And I can proclaim God's truth, not have to worry about political correctness. I'm careful. I'm polite. I love other people. But there is the truth of God's word. So the next step in temptation is what? Disobedience. So James says, but every person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed like a trap. Enticed. And then after desire has conceived, what happens? It gives birth to sin. We give in to that desire, to that temptation, we give birth to sin. But beware of this, there are consequences to sin. The tempter never tells you that. The commercial shows a person halfway giving a toast to someone else. It doesn't show you the person in the street laying in his vomit and drunk and out of his mind. It doesn't show you that picture. The picture you see on the commercial is two friends together taking a smoke and having a good time. You don't see the picture of a diseased lung and what causes the body, the troubles to the body, the disease. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, there's desires. We give in to those desires, that temptation. It gives birth to sin, disobedience. And sin has its consequences. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we understand, where does temptation come from? What's the source? And how does temptation work? And then probably the most important question we need to look at is how to overcome temptation. And this is where we need to pray. We need to pray that prayer, asking for God's help to be victorious. We're all susceptible to temptation. And so the first thing is what Jesus told his disciples here, to watch and pray. watch and pray. My father-in-law, Sharon's dad, he had a necktie, and I loved that necktie. And later on, it was given to me, watch and pray. These are little reminders to me. Watch and pray. Temptation is all around us. And we're also reminded when Jesus is coming again, watch and pray. It's all written on this tie. And one thing I really appreciate about my father-in-law, he had early Alzheimer's, dementia. And he was a godly man. I really appreciated him. He would, at the end of his life, he had trouble finishing a sentence. He'd get halfway through the sentence and he couldn't remember what he was talking. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting there too. But he couldn't remember the ending of his sentence, and he could not finish the sentence. And so we would often have to help him try to finish the sentence for him. But something very interesting to me, I often prayed with him. I love to pray with my father-in-law. And he would often, let's pray together. And he would kneel down, I'd kneel down next to him and pray. And never one time when he prayed, he never had any difficulty. His prayer was just as clear as could ever be. He would pray and call to God and never have any trouble finishing any sentence or any prayer. And it was amazing to me to hear his prayers. Watch and pray. He was a praying man. And Jesus told his disciples, they went up into the mountain where they prayed often together. And Jesus knew what was coming, that he was soon to be betrayed by Judas. And the soldiers were on their way. And he knew that. And he asked his disciples, please pray with me. Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our spirit is willing. We want to do what's right in our spirit. But we forget how weak our flesh is. We're not any different than those disciples as they proclaimed, even as Peter said, I will never deny you. Yet we know what happened to Peter. And so they went to pray with him. And what happened? And they were exhausted. And they fell asleep in their prayer. And so he came a second time and reminded them to pray and woke them up. Get up, watch and pray. And then he went off and prayed. And the third time he reminded them. And then the soldiers came. You know, we have to recognize your pattern of temptation and be prepared for it. What you are most vulnerable to temptation, where are your weaknesses? Where are my weaknesses? It could be a time of day. Some of us are morning people, some of us are not morning people. And the morning, if you're not a morning person, the morning can be a great time of temptation to you. It's hard to get up and get going in the morning. It could be certain people. Certain people that just rub you wrong and it's hard to resist the temptation that those would give to you. It may be feelings of exhaustion. When you're physically tired, you're physically exhausted, and the loneliness or stress or self-pity. For several years, Sharon and I led a group called Grief Share, helping people to get over grief as we found help from God to get over the grief that we went through. We helped people to get over the grief, and we had one series that was Grief Share was a special series on holidays. Grieving during the holidays, because there are certain times of year that are very difficult for people who lost a loved person, a loved one, or a friend, a family member. And this is their first Christmas without dad or mom. This is their first Christmas without their spouse. This is their first Christmas without their son or daughter or grandchild. And so we would, right before the Christmas season, we would go through that special session on how to get through the holidays, that time of grieving and anger and hurt and even success. At the top of the mountain, when Jesus was transfigured, he changed his image and showed all his glory to his disciples. And then they came down off that mountain and they faced a boy who was possessed by demons. And they fell in that temptation. They didn't know how to help this young, the parents who brought this boy. Oftentimes what happens is the success of being on the mountain, the wonderful time of the holidays, we come down off the holidays, we come down off the mountain, and we're susceptible to temptation. You have a great success, and you come down off of that. Beware, the temptation is just around the corner. So, in order that Satan might not outwit us, 2 Corinthians 2:11, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You know your weakness. I know my weakness. Each of us have our weaknesses. Now, there are certain places that one person could go to, another person cannot go to. If a person has had trouble with battling alcohol or addiction, and to go to a cocktail party or to a bar may be a great temptation to that person. A person who is battling pornography and to be on the internet could be a great temptation to them. You have to beware of the places of temptation. And then we need to watch and pray. Watch and pray. This quote, I think, is interesting. Pray as though everything depended on God, because it does. We are asking for God's help. But then we also have to do our part. Work as though everything depended on you. We pray first, because we are dependent upon God, but then we do our part. If a person was an alcoholic or an addict, you don't go to those places that are temptation to you. You pray for God's help, but you also do your part. And then this is Christmas time. It's interesting to me that throughout the Old Testament there is a promise of the coming Messiah. God had spoken to his people and had given great detail, prophecies of where the Messiah was to be born. And then there were 400 years of silence after the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the prophets. 400 years of silence. And yet we see in Luke chapter 2 that there were many, like Simeon, an older man, and Anna, an older lady, who believers, who would come to the temple, who would come and watched and prayed for the first coming of the Messiah. They watched and prayed. They were looking for the coming of the Messiah. They were looking for Jesus' coming. Every day they watched and prayed, looking for his coming. Now let us remind ourselves as Christians, he's coming again. Let's not forget that. He's coming again. And so we are reminded also in his words about his second coming, that we're to watch and pray for the second coming of Christ. We don't know what day that will be, but he's coming again. And certainly we look around us, the world in which we're living, we know we're living in the last days. This is described in the Bible. So watch and pray. And then how to overcome temptation? We need then to stand and fight. Yes, never forget to watch and pray. But then we have to stand and fight. Refuse to be intimidated. You know, the devil, the world, and the flesh are bullies. They want to push you around. They want to intimidate you. You cannot be intimidated. You cannot fear them, but you have to stand. And here James 4:7 tells us, submit yourselves then to God. Give yourself to God. Resist the devil. Stand up against the devil. And he will flee from you. Now, we don't do this in our own strength. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us that we are in a spiritual warfare. We must never forget that. And so Ephesians 6 tells us this, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We got the full armor of God. You look in Ephesians chapter 6. Take on the helmet of salvation. Take on the breastplate. Put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. The whole armor of God. But then we must not forget our weapon. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You look at how the devil came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness. How did Jesus withstand? It is written. Using the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, it is written. And then, the devil and his schemes also quoted Scripture. But Jesus gave the correct context of that Scripture. He again used the Word of God. And so we need to stand and fight. And we stand and fight putting on the armor of God. That protection of the that we take up the shield of faith. We put on the whole armor of God. And we take our sword. Never forget our sword. And we stand and fight against those temptations. Martin Luther. Was a professor and he took the 95 theses of stating he had taught the book of Romans. He knew the book of Romans. It was contrary to what the church the Roman church had taught. He nailed those 95 theses on the door of that church. Herein I stand. Because he took a stand, came the Reformation. Now, Christmas time is the birth of Jesus was announced to the world. The angels proclaim, God sent the light into the world to destroy darkness. The babe that was born in a manger, the infant Jesus, came to destroy our sin. He came to die upon the cross. And so God confronts evil. And then let us remember that we are also to be the light and the salt of the world until Christ's second coming. We need to take a stand as Christians. Stand up and let, using the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, with a gracious and compassionate heart, we stand. And then the third thing, how to overcome temptation. We watch and pray. We stand and fight. Then there are certain times we need to understand temptation. Sometimes we have to look for the exit and run. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I would like all of us to read these two verses together. If you would please, with me. Together. I need to put it up there for you. Alright. Sorry about that. Together. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, there's no temptation that we're going to face that's not common to every person. We're not going to face something that other people are not, that have not already faced or will face. And remember this, God is faithful. When you face temptation, when I face temptation, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I think of this as like Father Fildert. God filters the temptations that fall down upon us. He knows what we can bear. And yet, sometimes we feel that this is more than we can bear. He's building our strength and wants us to trust in Him. But notice, highlighting here for you, but when you are tempted, God will also provide way out so that you can endure it. Whenever you go into a public building, what do you look for? The exit. Where's the exit sign? If there's a fire, there's emergency, I want to find the exit. I look for the exit sign. All right? When temptation comes knocking at your door, there's an exit sign. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now, Joseph, a young man, was a very handsome man, a man of great character. And one day, well, not several days, Potiphar's wife flirted with him. But one day they were alone. And I'm sure that Joseph had often watched and prayed. He was aware of the flirtations of Potiphar's wife. And I'm sure that he was being watchful and prayerful. But one day, she caught him alone. And this was not a time to try to stand up because what she was at that time, the only thing that he could do was run. He left his coat. She took his coat. He left his coat and he ran. He ran. He looked for the exit and he ran. Now, sometimes that's what we need to do with temptation. When temptation comes, sometimes we have to run from that temptation. And we look for the exit. Now, you think about this at Christmas time. You know, after the wise man, we often see the picture of the shepherds and the angels announcing his birth. That's God standing up to the world. But then, the wise men came and visited the child and offered their gifts to him. And after the wise man, King Herod sought to kill the baby Jesus. All that were male, 2 years of age and younger, were to be killed. So what happened? God told Joseph about the way out, that he was to escape to Egypt. God provided the way out. And I think about Jesus' second coming. And there is I believe the rapture of the believers before that great day of tribulation, that God is going to provide a way out through that rapture. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. These words that Jesus spoke to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. I take great comfort in this, that Jesus is praying for us, that we will not fall into temptation. And with this, we're also to strengthen one another to overcome temptation. Now, how do we apply this? Number one, Expect temptation to come knocking at your door. It's going to come every day, temptation. Sometimes it's going to knock very gently, or sometimes it's going to try to break down your door. Watch and pray. And number two, do not invite temptation to enter, but resist with all your protection and weapons. Stand and fight. And ask Jesus to help you to answer that door when temptation comes. And do not answer the door. Look for the exit and run from the fire. Sometimes that house is on fire and you have to look for the exit. So then, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let us pray together again this prayer. May I ask you to stand, please, as we close. And I ask you to say with me the words of the Lord's Prayer together, if you would, please. Everyone together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this Christmas season. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be with family and friends and to tell them the good news, the Savior has come. Father, I pray also that you help us to be aware of temptation that is around us at all times. We pray for your help to be victorious over temptation. Help us to watch and pray. Help us to stand and fight. And help us to look for the exit and run when we need to. We pray, help us be victorious. In Jesus' name.